verses 3 to 13 on page 1153 of the Bibles. Therefore, I tell you that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed, and no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom. To another, the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he gives them to each one just as he determines. The body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts, and though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ, for we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. And the reading is a short reading in John chapter 7, verses 37 to 39, and it's on page 1072 in our church Bibles. On the last and greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him." By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Do sit down. We're going to look this morning at that first reading we had in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, famous chapter talking about the gifts of the Spirit. And it's one that can very easily unsettle people because one reels through these incredible things, miracles, healing, speaking of tongues. And there's a reaction almost from many of us, I think, to sort of just come back and say, whoa, whoa, what exactly is all this about? Let's dig into it. Paul's speaking to the, or writing to the people at Corinth. Corinth is a church that was founded by Paul. It came into being shortly after the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. So there'd be many people in Corinth who would have first-hand experience of the days of Christ. Paul actually lived in Corinth for 18 months. So he knew the people well and they knew him. It was a mixed community on a trading route, quite a wealthy one. Greeks, Romans, Jews. And therefore, there was that party spirit, as it's called in Scripture. There was a certain rivalry. We see it today, I think, in the tribal problems that have been around in the East, where there's been reconciliations aimed at in places like Iraq and so on, and one then discovers that within those countries, there's these tribal emphases which all come out when problems arise. And therefore, Paul emphasizes in this passage we're looking at today, the one body. We are all one, said he, in Christ Jesus. Whatever type, Greek, Roman, Jew, whatever, we are one in Christ Jesus. And just as an aside, as we start, I wonder if you've felt as I have on many occasions, you're in a foreign town overseas, may only be up in Scotland, Ireland, Wales. We just talk about Scotland, but I can't detect the Scottish accents that some people have got here, but they tell me they've in Scotland 40 years ago. But you can be in a city and you can look on a notice board of a church and think, I'll go there on Sunday morning, and you walk in, and isn't it true to say too frequently one feels part of a body? You walk in and people say hello, shake you by the hand, and you're welcomed. We are all one, says Paul, in Christ Jesus. And when this whole thought of gifts of the Spirit started to revive itself about 40 years ago, a chap called Michael Harper was one of the instigators. And he said, it was at a conference that I had a truly ecumenical experience when I sat between an Orthodox bishop and a German Baptist minister in a Roman Catholic chapel for a Pentecostal service conducted by an American Lutheran pastor. And that sparked Michael Harper to say, we are all one in Christ Jesus. The Spirit of God is there for all of us. And these were gifts that God had given to the people. And today, we still have got this division, although the excitement. I've just put these two slides there because West End of London, Kensington, just down the road from the museums and Royal Albert Hall, is Holy Trinity Brompton, an enormous church, and one that has really grown with a great emphasis on the Spirit of God. Great emphasis. So if you go to services there, worship is very much conducted in the presence of the Spirit of God. If you move 3 miles at the most, I guess, to St. Helen's Church in Bishopsgate, right in the heart of the City of London, a wonderful church, one that I went to many, many times when I was in business in the city. And there is an Anglican church, and the whole emphasis there is on the Bible, the Word of God. So when you go to a service there, everything centres around a teaching sermon. The Bible is the centre. The Spirit of God is there, sure, absolutely, and they'd be the first to acknowledge it. But there isn't the emphasis there. The worship is of a more, might I say, sober style. That's St. Helen's Church, Bishopsgate. Holy Trinity, Brompton, very different. It's a matter of emphasis. Paul lists out a whole range of gifts here. He says, to one there's given through the Spirit the message of wisdom, through the Spirit. To another, message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that same Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. Another, prophecy, distinguishing between spirits. Another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. Now, they're the words that people will constantly read and say, ooh, where do I fit into this? I'm not good on miracles. Oh dear, prophecy isn't my strong point. And there's that pulling back then in our thinking from the power of the Spirit of God. But it's interesting that when you go to the end of that chapter, just let me read to you verse 18, which is where Paul was reiterating some of these gifts. And he says, workers of miracles, also having gifts of healing. Now listen, those able to help others, those with gifts of administration. And praise God, the original there for administration means finance. But we don't tend to think like that, do we? I'm clear in my mind that God has given me a gift in terms of finance. Okay, it's all a bit boring for many. I've got a passion that people should not, particularly within Christian charities, when the accounts are produced, say, we trust you. No, we don't want to know. We don't understand, but we trust you. Let's move on. And I say, no, let's not move on. Let's understand the finances of this charity in the same way as you have to understand your finances domestically. And I believe that is something that God has laid on my heart. And for years and years and years, all over the place, I've been involved in that sort of ministry. I believe that is a gift of God, one of financial administration. gift of helping others, Paul mentions there. So we're talking about gifts of the Spirit. Gifts of the Spirit, Paul says, must be for the common good. A gift that's just an isolated one, that isn't a gift of the Spirit of God. A gift must help to establish and express the Lordship of Christ, not personal promotion. And it worries me when one does get people demonstrating on platforms these dramatic gifts of the Spirit of God, particularly in terms of healing, miracles, and there's a terrible risk that there's personal promotion involved there. It turns me off when I see people with bright white suits on and the whole audience focusing on them. Gifts of the Spirit must help to establish and express the Lordship of Christ, not personal promotion. God gives to each one as he determines. As he determines. When this whole thought of gifts of the Spirit were coming to the fore about, as I said, 40 years ago, the church I was at the time, Brian there was determined that he should speak in tongues. He'd heard people speak in tongues and he thought, Brian, bless him, he went to conferences, he went to retreats, he went anywhere and everywhere because he wanted to speak in tongues. John, very quiet, theological type sort of person in the church, was sitting at home one evening reading his Bible, praying, praising God, and suddenly, as he put it, he ran out of words. He'd no thought at all about doing that. He hadn't planned it. God gave it to him. God gives to each one as he determines. And as we'll see in a moment, the question for us is just, what is it that God has given to me? And the natural and the supernatural merge. I don't want this morning to move away from the thought of miracles and speaking in tongues and so on, in any shape or form. They are wonderful gifts of God. But we need to be aware that there are the natural as well as the supernatural that are gifts of God. And the question that we have to ask ourselves today on this Pentecost Sunday is, what gift have I? God has given to us through the Spirit a gift or gifts. And there is the danger that we stand back and say, well, I'm not into these miraculous things, so count me out. No, don't count me out. God has given to each one a gift. And the question is, am I exercising here in St. Paul's in the body of Christ? The body, that's meant to demonstrate two fairly fit, active people, a body that's working alive. It's two basketball players, I think, who in that non-contact sport managed to collide. But there's the other side to the coin. There's a body which, as far as one is aware, is in full working order, but is actually unconscious. And therefore, none of the parts of the body are working. They're there, but they're not working. And again, it's a challenge to us as individuals here in St. Paul's. What gift have I got? Which part of the body am I demonstrating within this whole body of St. Paul's Church in Kingston Hill? What am I demonstrating? And I think I mentioned a couple of weeks ago when I was preaching that if I were on trial and the charge was, you're a Christian, is there enough evidence? Quite a challenge, isn't it? The live body, the unconscious body, all the parts are there. And the Bible wonderfully demonstrates the power of the Spirit of God in the normal way of our power in life today. He talks about flame. For this reason, Paul says to Timothy, I remind you, mouth or eyes,